This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats to you. You're winning two tickets to see the Caps open their season against the Devils Saturday, October 12th at Capital One Arena. For tickets and complete Caps schedule information, go to 1067thefan.com. The local football team's got a bright future. It's time for you to think about yours as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show will help, the law firm Condorian Murad. They will help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family as well. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. They'll give you a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We're covering the NFL on the Blitz and the Commanders coming up in just a few, but we start on the diamond. And to discuss the Major League Baseball playoffs, we've got Britt Ciroli of The Athletic with us. Britt, the Orioles, after losing yesterday, have now lost 9 straight playoff games. I feel so badly for the fan base. What do they got to do to get going today in their game against the Royals?
Well, hitting would be nice. I mean, they didn't score a single run yesterday in that game, and obviously Cole Reagans pitched very well. But this Orioles lineup, guys, for the last, really since July, has been incredibly inconsistent. So while it was something that fans have seen before, I think it was jarring to watch all of their young core, all of their young hitters not be able to produce. So that really, to me, is going to be step one. They've got to get on Seth Lugo early and restore a little bit of their swagger, get a little confidence, get the momentum back. Because as you said, it's been 10 years since they've won a playoff game.
Yeah, they need that in a time machine to prevent some of the injuries that have knocked them around too, Brent. I hate saying this more than you could possibly imagine, because, I mean, you're an adult. I'm an irrational, pudgy child that masquerades as a grown-up. There's shades of 2019 Nationals with the Mets. Like, every time you think it's over, they make it not over. Like, they keep getting up off the mat. They've got this great momentum. Some of their guys are going to be leaving that team. They've been red hot. I'm telling you, there's some sort of vibe here. And I'm hoping that's a reverse jinx and they get blown out the next two games by Milwaukee. But it seems like you can't keep this group down.
No, you're right. I mean, them and the Tigers, to me, are two of the scarier teams right now, because both of them are playing with that kind of scary momentum where they have no business winning these games that they're winning. And the Mets are a great example. I mean, everything that happened for them to get to that point, playing in that doubleheader, using so many pitchers, not getting in till the end, and then flying to Milwaukee, where Milwaukee, you know, they did score early. They did go up, and the Mets just didn't care. So they, to me, are an incredibly dangerous team, and they're set up pretty well now, guys. Edwin Diaz, you know, didn't pitch in that first game, so he would be available tonight for them. Sean Manaea has probably been their most consistent starter. Mm-hmm. Getting 6 innings in game 1 at Luis Severino was a huge boon for them. And I think we've seen this time and time again with Milwaukee. The problem is not the pitching. The problem is their offense. You know, a 4-run deficit felt like the game was over, and obviously it ended up being over.
Britt, how do you feel about this format overall? I'm going to do the thing I hate where I kind of complain without a better solution. But the teams that are really good sit around for 6 days without playing baseball, which is not a help. It's actually been proven to be more of a hurt. And I know that you got to do something to get the teams that make it on the back end have to go through a bit of a murderer's row to see them. But I don't know how to do both and make it work for everyone. Where are you at on this format?
Yeah, I agree. I don't love it. And, you know, you can complain about the wild card, too, because when it was a winner-take-all, it was a total flip of the coin. And even in a three-game series, the team that wins game one, guys, has won the series 14 of 16 times. So, you know, it really isn't that indicative of who is better, right? I don't know if there is a good solution other than maybe going back to the format where there was, you know, less playoff teams, and that's not going to happen because of the money that it creates for the league and the interest it creates for so many fan bases. I mean, we talked about the Tigers and Mets and what they're doing. Those teams wouldn't be in it if we hadn't expanded the field so much. So I think you look at the problems that they have, and like, there has to be a better solution, because I agree. If I was a fan of a team sitting around for 6 days, I'd be nervous playing a hot team that came in, had no business going clinching the playoffs, clinched on the last day. And then all of a sudden now you're playing them and they feel unstoppable. I mean, the Texas Rangers did the same thing last year. Mm-hmm. They ended on the road, a wild card team, and they won the World Series. So I think there has to be a way to incentivize winning the division more, because right now there is no incentive. And the mindset for most of these teams is simply get in, which is fine. But again, if you're going to win the division, there should be a little bit more than, hey, you get a couple days rest, and, oh, you get to be flat-footed and face a team that's been red hot for 2 weeks.
Britt, point to center field, call your shot. Who comes out of the AL and NL, and who wins the whole thing?
Ooh, this is really tough. So I think the NL, I think the Padres come out of the NL. I think that they're red hot. I do think that they are probably the best team in the National League, certainly the deepest team. I know they got to go through the Dodgers if they end up winning against the Braves, but I'm going to go with them. The AL to me is a little bit murkier. I think the Yankees have the ability to do it, but if Kansas City wins this game tonight, guys, they're dangerous because they can pitch, they can play defense. And they remind me a little bit of the 2014-2015 Royals teams, mm-hmm. and of course the 15 team won the World Series. So I'm going to go Yankees-Padres. I'm going to go Padres over the Yankees. But again, I think if there are certainly some dark horses here, and I would definitely watch these hotter teams, the Royals, the Tigers, the Mets, these are the teams that could create total chaos with everyone's playoff bracket.
Britt, thank you. We appreciate you.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Britt.
Enjoy the day of baseball. Let's talk football. Nick Ashew, BetQL, to do just that. Nick, the Chiefs are weird to me. I keep thinking they come back to the pack more and more every year. They look more and more pedestrian. They don't blow anybody out, but they just never lose. They're 4-0. How good are they?
There's a lot of other talent besides, you know, these top receivers that they're going to be missing now. I mean, Hollywood Brown missing is, like, kind of doesn't matter because it's not like he's actually played for them yet in the regular season. But, you know, when you look at them, they have Patrick Mahomes. And I've just learned at this point, I just don't bet against the Chiefs. I don't count the Chiefs out ever, because we were in this position last year, right? We looked at that receiving core and said, oh, my God, they're terrible. They're a bunch of walking brain farts out there that can't even line up on sides, and yet they win a Super Bowl. So, to me, even whether they're in on Devontae Adams or they're not in on Devontae Adams, it doesn't really matter, because Patrick Mahomes is an elite quarterback, and elite quarterbacks find ways to make everybody around them better.
Nicholas, I know Kansas City will be atop everybody's power rankings because, you know, they're the defending champs, and just somebody knocks them off, you're still the defending champs. And everyone has to, like, write that sentence and maybe throw up a little bit while they do. But right now, this minute, who is the best team in the NFL? And your answer could be Kansas City because of that same logic. But who is the best team in the league?
You know, I would have said Kansas City before all of the injuries and, you know, losing Rashee Rice and some of the other stuff's going on. But it's hard for me to do that given the current roster that's just going to be out there. This may sound crazy to you guys. I don't know how you feel about the Vikings, but they're 4-0 and they look really damn good. I mean, it's crazy to say this with Sam Darnold as the starting quarterback. But, you know, he looks like somebody now that is what we thought he would be when he got drafted by the Jets, right? And let's give Kevin O'Connell credit. I mean, this, we talk about all these offensive-minded coaches and these offensive geniuses. Well, right now I'm looking to Miami, and they're supposed to have an offensive genius as a head coach there. And, I mean, they can't even get Devon Achane the ball at all. So, like, really, we're looking at Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. The defense is already there. They're up 28-0 in Green Bay. Now they did almost blow that lead, so that is a little bit of a problem. But they're 4-0, and they've got the best wide receiver in the NFL. And Sam Darnold looks like a Pro Bowler right now.
If you were to pick a one-win team, so in the AFC that could be the Bengals, Dolphins, Browns. In the NFC that could be the Rams or the Cardinals, I guess, perhaps, maybe the Giants, that you would say gets off the mat, makes the playoffs. Who would you roll with?
I mean, I got to go with the Bengals because they're like every year, right? Every single season they dig themselves an 0-2 hole, a 1-3 start, whatever the case is. So just by the fact that they've been in playoff mode early in the season every single year and have the experience, I would have to go Cincinnati. But, man, they've been a tough watch at the beginning of this season. So it's tough when you sit there and look at teams that are at least bad to start off the first quarter of the season and try to find a way that they're going to look good. What's going to make you more confident in them? But I'll go with a team with experience. Give me Cincy.
Nick, you know this guy, this absolute buffoon, this idiot who sits across from Grant Paulson every day from 2 to 6:30 post Meridian on 106.7 The Fan. This moron sat there and told America that the Jets would win the AFC East, that Buffalo would come back to the pack, and because they finally got some semblance of quarterback play, this team is really well built, blah, blah, blah. I can't get over what my eyes saw against Denver. I know it's one game, and maybe their worst game of the year, and maybe they go on to play well. I'm so mad at that guy for saying
that. Don't forget it was Tanner Rainey as well.
But still. I'd be gross. And now Garrett Wilson's like, I don't move around ever. Should I move around at all? Does that matter? Like, they're gross. I hate them, and I'm mad at Danny.
Listen, first off, don't beat yourself up. There's a lot of people that were on the Jets bandwagon. I was with you in counting out the Bills, honestly. But I wouldn't say this. It wasn't counting out. It was more of just what is their offense going to look like with all these new receivers. And Khalil Shakir is kind of turning out to be the number one receiver there. He's really getting a lot of the opportunities. And listen, for the Bills, it comes down to Josh Allen carrying this team. Josh Allen will win MVP if this team wins the division because it's going to have to be an MVP season from Josh Allen for them. But listen, the Jets have some talent, but you know what it is? The Jets are still going to jet one way or the other. They're going to jet. If you even watched any of that game against Denver, good for you, because that was one of those like, okay, I'm going to just go a different direction here. If it shows up on red zone, that's the only way I'm going to see it, though. It was impossible because nobody was near the red zone. It felt like that entire game. The Jets are a team that has some talent, but you know what's going to end up happening. We're already hearing it from Aaron Rodgers. He's not happy. He knows he's above most of the people there because he's a multi-time MVP and won a Super Bowl, and he's looking at Robert Saleh going, who is this clown? And it has the feeling of something that's going to implode because personalities and egos always make something like that explode.
Nicholas, tomorrow night, Thursday night football, this actually feels like a big game early in the season, especially for Atlanta at home. So it's the Bucs and the Falcons. Tampa's 3-1. They had a terrible loss to the aforementioned Broncos, but it does feel like, you know, they are one of the better teams in the NFC. Meanwhile, Atlanta had a squeaker of a loss to Kansas City on an awkward call. They had a completely awful, gross performance against the Steelers. It just feels like 3-2 versus 2-3 for them. If they'd be 2-0 in the division with their only two losses out of conference, would actually be a pretty solid start. Quarterback coming off an injury, new head coach, new coordinator. What do you make of that game tomorrow night?
I think for one, if it's Atlanta, we're seeing improvement from Kirk Cousins every week. I mean, he's starting to look a little more comfortable in that offense, moving a little bit better, though. We know he's not like an overly mobile quarterback, but you're starting to see the Falcons at least become a team that can work with what Kirk Cousins is at this point in his career, right? Whatever that ends up being coming off of a torn Achilles. What concerns me about Atlanta, though, the last 2 weeks we've seen nothing from Bijan Robinson. I mean, at all. And the whole point was Raheem Morris talked about getting him the ball in the first 2 weeks of the season. We saw it in the last 2 weeks, more Tyler Allgeier, less Bijan Robinson. And they're going to need to get more out of Bijan if they want to be able to beat a team like Tampa. Tampa's awesome. I mean, honestly, like, Tampa continuing to do what they're doing offensively now without Dave Canales there anymore as the offensive coordinator is great. Because, honestly, we thought, like, is Baker Mayfield going to come back to earth? Was it Dave Canales and the magic that he was able to bring on him, just like he did Geno Smith? The reality of it is they haven't really missed a beat. Chris Godwin's gotten even better. He's already got 3 touchdowns this year, 322 yards receiving. I mean, he's great out of the slot, especially when Mike Evans is getting all the attention he's getting. So I like Tampa tomorrow in that game, even though it is in Atlanta. But I am seeing an Atlanta team that's definitely growing. It just feels like Tampa's a little bit more established with everything right now and kind of in a rhythm versus Atlanta's trending upward right now.
Nick, you're very handsome. Thank you, buddy.
Love you guys.
Love you, too, in that way. Hit the local 53 sounder, please. Darius. Our guy, Liam Griffin, he covers that Washington foosball team for the Washington Times. Liam, I had no idea it would be this much fun at this stage. What's it been like here just through a month or so covering this club that's kind of superseded almost everybody's expectations?
Well, I'll tell you, this is my first season covering the team, and I also had no idea that it was going to be this fun to do it. The vibes are fantastic in the building, in the locker room. Everyone's cheering. You know, when they gave Cliff Kingsbury the game ball on Sunday night, we weren't in the locker room yet, but we could hear them from outside, you know, 20, 30 feet away because of this eruption of applause. The vibes are just great in the building. The energy is electric, really, right now.
You mentioned Cliff Kingsbury. What's he doing so well?
So he's playing it with the strength of this offense. So Dan Quinn was talking about it today and that he worked with what Jaden Daniels felt comfortable doing. And that's so important for a young quarterback, especially early on in his career. Everybody hears, everybody talks about the speed of the NFL game. There's that adjustment period. But by bringing some of these schemes that worked so well for him at LSU, bringing them up to the professionals with him, was able to ease him in a little bit longer. And obviously, Jaden Daniels is encouraged to use his legs as well. So Cliff Kingsbury has not tried to reinvent the wheel, really, in the first 4 weeks of the season and just allowed Jaden Daniels to shine.
What's going to get taken away? In other words, going back over the years, Liam, looking at Cliff Kingsbury's offenses, they've started off great a couple different times and then really faded down the stretch, whether as his players faded, whether it's scheme adjustments from the opponents. I have no idea. I'm not a football doctor, but it has happened. So what could you see defenses going, you know what, that's not going to beat us. We're going to make them do something else.
Well, what I could see is defenses putting more pressure close to the line of scrimmage, and that this offense right now is heavily focused on these quick hitters. On a third down, you'll see Jaden Daniels throw a speed out, you know, to get that first down, get 5 or 6 yards, keep the chains moving. You'll see early on in the drives, you'll see a bubble screen to get started. I think True Media has a stat right now about the Commanders leading the league in the number of screen plays called right now and letting their ball handlers get the ball in space, trying to make a play. So I could see teams trying to take that away. But then the issue with that is, okay, let's say you're going to call man coverage as a defense, put your best corners on the Commanders' best receivers. Now you have a bunch of people with their backs to Jaden Daniels, and he has the legs. He has the athleticism and the scrambling ability to make a defense pay for that. And so I do think the defenses will start to adjust to the offenses that Cliff Kingsbury is calling. But Jaden Daniels is such a talented player and has such a multifaceted game that I think it's going to be hard for them to truly adapt.
Liam, we're at a point where it's almost like every national analyst is competing with each other to prove who likes Jaden Daniels the most. I mean, there was a guy on ESPN yesterday, one of their analysts, who said he's the best quarterback in the NFC right now, already. 9 days ago, they were 1-1 with a fairly unimpressive win against the Giants. Are we getting too excited too fast, or is this reaction just right?
I think it's hard to say that the Washington Commanders fan base can get excited about anything too fast because of how hard it has been to be a fan of this franchise for so long. But I would just caution people to understand that not every game is going to be perfect. Look at Patrick Mahomes. He is one of the best quarterbacks of his generation, of any generation, really. And even he struggles on occasion. There's some stinkers in there. And you have to understand that Jaden Daniels, as good as he is, and I think he is well on his way to being the quarterback of the future for this team, there are going to be some rough patches in there. They will come eventually. And to just handle those with poise, I would say.
Liam, thank you as always, man. Have a good one.
Of course. You too.
Liam Griffin, Washington Times, covers the Commanders. At 5 o'clock in 40 minutes, we've got Deftones tickets we're going to give out. Someone listening is going to win those, so you better be locked in. We'll also blitz the East. But next, I want to dive in on the hype train right now and the love for Jaden Daniels and this offense and the Commanders, which is a long time coming and really exciting. Is it too much too fast, or is it just right? We're Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Keep improving, finding little ways to keep growing. I wouldn't say it's a finished product, but, you know, it's just a start. And, I mean, I don't really look at everything that people talk about. I mean, I see it, but other than that, man, none of that matters. That was last week's stuff. You're only as good as the last game you played, and everybody's going to look at what can you do the week prior, and the weeks after that.
That's your rookie quarterback who doesn't play like a rookie, Jaden Daniels. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. Yesterday, I found myself just clicking from one story after another from the National People with little anecdotes on Washington. I found myself looking online, Twitter and otherwise, and on the apps, one breakdown of another. This guy studied the film of Jaden Daniels. This former quarterback said this. This former player said that. His approval rating right now, Danny, I think, is the highest of any player I've ever seen.
It might be.
I mean, he is so popular and so beloved. It was a competition yesterday of analysts just to say, who can be the most high on the Commanders' offense?
Yeah, let's have an effusive contest.
Who's going to say the nicest thing about Jaden Daniels today? And everyone was scratching, clawing, fighting on themselves to get to the flag, basically, to be the one that said the biggest, hottest take about Jaden Daniels. Like, he should be in the Hall of Fame right now. And then how do you top that?
The number one greatest rookie in any sport, anywhere, ever, at any time.
So my first thing I would say is I'm thoroughly enjoying all of the coverage. We don't get this around here.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. And maybe we could just end it there. Maybe we just put a period on that sentence and we move on to something else. But there's also this part of me that goes, is it a little fast? And I don't mean specific to Daniels, because we're talking about his first four games that have been historic and amazing. And we have context. We can contextualize against all the other rookies. And he's just a part of an offense that's been better. His performance in a lot of ways has been more efficient, whatever. No problem with that. It's the heaping of the praise it's as if, like, they've arrived, or this is what it's always going to be, or this is who he is or they are, that makes me a little bit nervous. Call me crazy as someone who's seen the rug get pulled out from under you and just knows that this isn't linear. This is a week-by-week kind of league. It's a matchup-by-matchup league. How should I feel about this? How should we feel about this? And we can open up the phones at 800-636-1067, MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. 800-636-1067. I mean, the love for Washington, for Kingsbury, for Daniels is a good thing, but it's gotten to a point where it's like so ubiquitous now that it almost feels like it's a little too much too soon.
So one of the hallmarks, I think, of doing this job that you and I have found, I don't want to speak for you, but I know we've shared this sentiment in the past, is oftentimes it's validating to feel like you're doing a good job if you find yourself arguing against that extreme and then that extreme on opposite ends of the spectrum, right? So there's, in this case, for example, there aren't that many right now, but bear with me. On one side, he's so overrated. He's not that good. He's just checking it down. He's just throwing screen passes. You guys don't know what you're talking about. He stinks. They're going to suck. Okay. Then the other side is he's the greatest of all time. This is perfect. They're going, you know, 14-3 and they're winning the Super Bowl this year. Being a little bit more in the middle, to borrow from Jim Zorn, a little more staying medium, a little bit more in the middle, you end up arguing against both extremes. There's a lot of issues there that happen, when, especially when it comes up in terms of sports. You and I are bigger sample guys. We like a whole bunch of data before we start declaring anything solved or done or a mistake or good or bad or anything in between. So I think that's normal and natural, that there's a balance here between going, for me, this is already so much better than I thought it would be. I did not think I'd have a game where they scored 42 points this year. I sure as bleep didn't think it'd be after a game where they didn't punt and scored 38 points. I didn't think I'd see that in the year of our Lord, 2024. I just saw it over the span of 8 days, whatever the hell it is, right? So you're allowed to be having fun. You're allowed to be excited. You're allowed to then say, well, if we did that, I wonder what the next thing is. I wonder what else we could do. That's normal. That's sports. That's why we get up in the morning. That's why we do this crap. You know what I mean? It's why we opt in to this crazy, weird, bizarre dance of a bunch of people wearing the same laundry trying to matriculate a ball down the field. It's because that hope and that excitement and that lightning strike that maybe it's your time to see something truly special, because we've seen a little bit of it already through a couple of weeks. At the same time, you could spin that other plate and go, yeah, we really are talking about a calendar week of two good games that changed the entire perception of everything. Maybe we should pump the brakes a little bit. Maybe we should just wait a second before we start crowning and coronating and fitting gold jackets and a lot of other things. I think it's okay to think both things and sort of blend those into one approach where we're going, all I know right now is that I'm having fun. I can't wait to see what's next. I don't think that's crazy.
Yeah, I guess where I'm at is I am super optimistic and hopeful, and he has blown me away, and my expectations have completely been exceeded. Like, all of those things are true. But when I hear, I'm trying to think of who the analyst was on ESPN. I think it was, who's the guy they call Swagoo?
Marcus Spears?
Marcus Spears. I think it was him. Yesterday said he's the best quarterback in the NFC. Rich Eisen, yeah, I think it was yesterday, may have been 2 days ago, said something to the effect of, the quarterbacks he would take right now moving forward over Jaden Daniels were Patrick Mahomes, CJ Stroud, and he may have had Josh Allen on the list. I don't even think
Hopefully he did.
But hopefully. Now he's like, and then Jaden Daniels. And I'm like, this is awesome to hear about my guy. But it's been 144 hours of really good football. That's like, this was not a month where they just couldn't do anything wrong offensively. This has really been two awesome games that we're talking about. People forget the Tampa Bay game was a scramble fest. That was a passing game that at best was ineffective and at worst was just bad. But again, it was the first game. I don't mean for him. I mean for the whole offense. Like, I'm not holding it against them. It's the only time they've looked like that. The Giants game in week two was a tale of two halves. The first half, they got sacked four times. They had some issues getting the ball out. Everything was at the line of scrimmage or behind. And then in the second half, it's like the switch flipped. He was incredible. They pushed the ball down the field, hit the throw to Noah Brown, did some really, really good things. So that half of the Giants game and then two games. But, like, think about the difference in just the overall narrative about the team, about Kingsbury, about the offense, about Daniels, from 3 hours before the Bengals game,
yep,
to an hour after the Cardinals game. And this is what happens. This is how the coverage works in the 24/7 platform world now, the medium that we're in, where everyone's just rushing to the take. They're rushing to the judgment. And I'm really happy. And he's been really, really good. And the offense is awesome. And Cliff Kingsbury's killing it. Just like he did in Arizona in the first half of almost every single season, by the way. But I guess that's the point I come back to. It's not meant to be cold water. I'm asking a question more than I'm making a point. I really am. I'm just saying, is it too much too soon at all? Or should we not worry about that and just have fun? Because we deserve it. And it's been a long time coming. It's less, though, four games that are just above reproach. It's more 144 hours of football. You know, well, actually 6 hours of football in 144 hour span. It was 8,640 minutes from Monday to Sunday. That's what we're talking about here, and the whole world seems to have changed. This was Liam Griffin when we asked him if we should feel good about all of the coverage or if we should be asking, is it too much too soon?
I think it's hard to say that the Washington Commanders fan base can get excited about anything too fast because of how hard it has been to be a fan of this franchise for so long. But I would just caution people to understand that not every game is going to be perfect. Look at Patrick Mahomes. He is one of the best quarterbacks of his generation, of any generation, really. And even he struggles on occasion. There's some stinkers in there. And you have to understand that Jaden Daniels, as good as he is, and I think he is well on his way to being the quarterback of the future for this team, there are going to be some rough patches in there. They will come eventually. And to just handle those with poise, I would say.
And I have confidence he will. That's who he is, right? I mean, the adversity that's been thrown at him previously, he has come through with flying colors. And not just in terms of performance, but in terms of that word that gets bandied about with him a lot. Yeah, the athletic traits are off the charts, and you know, the accuracy and all the skills and attributes we've seen have them come through. But poise, that's the thing to me that's the most impressive about him. And it's easy to say, right? It's easy to read a book on what to do and how to react, but it's got to be genuine. Otherwise, guys see through it. You can't fake rah-rah or fake relax or whatever. Guys realize that after a while, and then, whether it's conscious or subconscious, don't follow anymore. It seems to be the genuine article. Again, this is super early, but those are the reports, and it sort of seems to be validated here to this point. But I don't think it's too early to be things like hopeful. I don't think it's too early to be blown away. I don't think it's too early to have realistic expectations that we might have something better than we've had here in decades, because there's a really low bar. Like, if we're in Green Bay and these are the early returns, I'll wait for a much larger sample to see if he's this Hall of Famer who handed it off to this Hall of Famer who may be the next guy, right? I've got a pretty high bar to clear two of the 10 greatest to ever do it. I don't have that here. I got a lot of Heath Shuler and John Freeze. I got way more Tony Banks in my memory bank than I do Hall of Fame caliber quarterback play. Sure. So I'm going, yeah, let's dream big.
I'm just saying some of the rhetoric maybe feels like it's just too quick, too fast for me.
Which I get. I get that.
And maybe that's just my own proclivity and style of saying, like, we don't have to say the hot, crazy thing immediately. Eisen, I found the list here. He said, he was asked, who would you want as a franchise quarterback over Jaden Daniels? I'm going to send you this audio real quick, Darius. We can play this. And he gave a list of, like, five names. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, C.J. Stroud, Patrick Mahomes. Now, clearly you're taking into account age maybe for this or like upside.
Mm-hmm.
But based on the Bengals Monday night game and the Arizona game, that's basically what we're talking about. I mean, if you were really, really blown away, I guess, by the second half of the Giants game, you could throw that in there. You're just in Sharpie. You're taking him over Jordan Love, Justin Herbert. I don't know, I'm not a big Jalen Hurts guy, but he was an MVP candidate 2 years ago, or, you know, Brock Purdy. Maybe. He looks, the last couple weeks, if this is who he is, then hell yeah. But there's so many great two-week stretches. I think we just got to wait and see. That's all I'm saying. It just seems aggressive. It seems quick to just make the decision now and put it in pen. That's all.
Yeah, which I think is fair. But it's also a very strange time in quarterbacking, by the way. Remember we had this a few years ago when there was the super greats, the Bradys and Mannings, then that like 1A tier of Drew Brees and company that were, you know, waning in their careers. And we're kind of going, who's next? Where's the next class? Well, all of a sudden, there are three tiers of quarterback right now, just in terms of age and experience. There's the like super aging veteran Aaron Rodgers. There's the in their prime 30-year-old type guys, the Mahomes, Burrow type group. And then there's kids. So, like, it's actually not that crazy to say you take him over a lot of people, because a lot of them are super veterans or journeymen, you know, the Sam Darnolds of the world.
I have to hear the context of how much of it is, like, for the rest of their careers, for the next 10 years or whatever.
Or for, like, this week.
But, yeah, but again, 2 weeks is all you needed to see.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You needed to see two really good right. games, and now he's fifth in the league and number one in the conference. It's just, I don't know. I guess that's the world we live in. 800-636-1067 is the number. Grant and Danny on the Fan. He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. The praise for the Commanders after 4 weeks has been hot and heavy. The national media has fallen in love with our young quarterback, Jaden Daniels. This was Rich Eisen on his show yesterday.
Which quarterbacks in the league right now would you rather have than Jaden Daniels?
I would rather.
I think it's a very small list.
Lamar, Allen, Burrow.
Right now?
Burrow's turned it on the last three games, sir.
They have one win.
And Stroud would be in that mix.
Mahomes, obviously.
Mahomes.
That's about it.
Darnold is amazing, but I understand what you're saying there. I mean, you're talking about long-term as well, maybe.
You're talking as of right now at 9:38 today is what you're saying.
Which quarterbacks would you rather have as your franchise QB than Jaden Daniels? The list is very small.
Mm-hmm. That's why I said it looks like the Commanders have hit the jackpot at the quarterback draft.
I agree with the last part. But I don't know who quarterback wins guy was who was making the list with him, whoever that guy was. Burrow over Jaden Daniels? Joe Burrow, the perennial MVP candidate? His team's only won one game. Like, that's just crazy talk to me. How does anyone enjoy this content? I just don't understand.
Yeah.
It's just not for me.
Right. But I will say, just again, you start to go down the list of quarterbacks. And I know this isn't the point of the segment, but when you're looking at the, you know, Geno Smith, Dak Prescott, I don't know, Sam Darnold, Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford. It's not outrageous to say. I'd like the number 2 overall draft pick who's shown well early.
Sure.
But if the question is,
initially, by the way, was not like, who do you want for 10 years? He kind of got around to that. Mm-hmm. He just said, who would you rather have as your quarterback right now? And all I'm saying is, let's say Jaden Daniels is 7 on the list, 11 on the list, 13 on the list, whatever. Everyone's just going to be different. That's fine. This is basically based on 10 days.
And that's
all it takes to rewrite everyone's lists. I mean, that's a little staggering.
And that's kind of the point here. So what we're getting into is a bit of, this was my evaluation and now it's being confirmed, and now we rush to this, you know, giant rave party where everybody's overvaluing things.
I should clarify, I am a big Rich Eisen guy and I love his show. I just don't know who the other person was, and I
they have one win.
Let's go to Vince in McLean on GND. What's up, Vince?
Hey guys, love the conversation.
Appreciate you, dude.
Question. Yeah, just wanted to point something out to you guys and had a quick question for you. The Jaden Daniels sample set is arguably small to both your points, I think, but obviously off to a great start. But I also think we're in a bit of an echo chamber with how successful he's been and all the analysts on television kind of trying to outdo each other, talking about how great he is. You have to remind yourself, there have been relatively similar amazing starts by quarterbacks in recent memory. If you think about what Cam Newton did with the Carolina Panthers, I think he rushed for 21 TDs or passed for 21 TDs. And rush for 14 more. Andrew Luck had a very hot start. Even Justin Herbert passed for the most yards a rookie has ever passed for in his inaugural rookie season. So we've seen some amazing starts to seasons by rookie NFL quarterbacks. And all those guys are great in their own right. But you're right, to your point, they're talking about our quarterback as if he's already in the Hall of Fame. So I think there's a little bit of tempering expectations to get a larger sample set to see where he kind of settles in that broader group. And he may still be in that top 10 rookie class of all time. But my question for you guys is, how much of this is Jaden Daniels, as most of the media make you believe, like he's amazing, versus how much credit do we start giving Cliff Kingsbury and what he's been able to develop around him to make his job maybe a little bit easier, to help him adapt to the NFL
speed? Yeah, I think both are true.
100%. Thanks,
buddy. Appreciate the call. I think Daniels has been fantastic. And a lot of the things that he has done and is good at are things that are abnormal for a young guy. His maturity, his leadership, his calm, his poise, making the right decision, not forcing the football, taking what's there. These are lessons that sometimes can take years, right? Cousins, it wasn't until he got benched in his second year getting to play or whatever before he finally said, all right, I just got to take the 5-yard throw. I can't keep trying to force the ball and throw all the picks. Like, it takes time to learn these things that he seems to have already figured out. Having said that, are they running an offense where their expected completion percentage is the highest in the NFL at 74% because 74% of their throws are easy throws? Yes. Are they running an offense, like Cam Taylor-Britt said, that resembles a lot of things Jaden Daniels was asked to do in LSU? Sure. I mean, there are people suggesting, like, hey, you only have to read this guy or this thing. That's called good coaching, by the way. Like, these are used as these negatives, or how dare you, or why would you take credit away from someone, or that's a pejorative. No, Daniels has done an amazing job and looks awesome and is the real deal, hopefully. And also, Cliff Kingsbury is doing exactly what he should be doing and deserves a lot of credit for it.
Yeah, I would challenge you throughout history to find me a, I'm not putting Daniels here yet, but bear with me, a high-level Hall of Fame caliber quarterback that's putting up great numbers without a really good offensive mind there. I'll wait for the pairing that you can figure out where a guy was a bumbling boob who couldn't do anything right, and a quarterback every year was putting up MVP-type numbers. You can go back wherever, whenever you want. Everyone from Bill Walsh to Mike Holmgren to, you know, name that Hall of Fame quarterback. You had a pretty good offensive mind there as well. Is either a compliment or a guy that was accentuating the positive or working with him, being on the same page. That's not a negative. That's part of it. I think that's part of the conversation.
Yeah, totally. And I think, as the weeks go on and we get to watch more and more, we're going to find out. Like, how can I or anyone else answer the question? How much is Cliff? How much is Jaden Daniels? When they're not ahead of the sticks constantly, when they're not one of the best teams on first and 10, when they're not averaging third and short, when they aren't not turning the ball over and never committing penalties, then we're going to get a little bit more of a tell. But the national media doesn't know all of those things. They just see a quarterback who's a amazing athlete who won the Heisman, who was a number two overall pick, who was a dual threat, was playing his ass off. And as you said, it's kind of a superlative fest. It's like a who can say the best thing. Lou's in D.C. What's up, Lou?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, bud.
How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Good, man.
To me, I'm not buying the hype, especially, you know, the media from the, you know, the outside media, because we've seen what's been going on here for the past 20-something years. So, I'm here just for, you know, enjoying the moment every weekend and, you know, just watching him and putting on the show every Sunday and toying around with this defense. And that's what I'm here for. And I'm not listening to those guys. And I'm just, you know, just happy to see him and happy to have a franchise quarterback. That, you know, is something that we didn't have for a long time. And
totally.
I'm just, you know, soaking it in.
It looks like in this town we finally have the guy. Right. And that is a really, really good thing. The rest of it can wait for now. You know, he's the best in the conference. You can miss me with that at this point. You know, there are three quarterbacks I'd rather have in the league at this moment. Like, all that stuff to me is just too soon and silly and outrageous. By my view, based on like 2.5 pretty unbelievable games, for me, it just takes longer. But everyone's going to feel differently in that regard, I think. But the more he is this, the more they play like this, the more that becomes what it is.
Right.
And it becomes less silly to have that conversation. The C.J. Stroud thing, though, if 3 weeks, 4 weeks into last season, people started saying about C.J. Stroud, this is a top five quarterback in the NFL, this is the best quarterback in the AFC South, whatever the conversation was, I would have said, God, that seems really, really early.
Let's slow down a little.
You know what I don't say that about anymore? C.J. Stroud. Because I saw it for a whole year. I saw it in a playoff game. I've seen it now for a month to start another season. It's just a sample size thing. But don't get me wrong. It's good. I like nice things being said about our guy. We'll blitz the NFC East next, and I want to get more thoughts from you guys on this. So you can hit the open lines at 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.